No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we're tapping in for the very first time with Shooter Gang Coney. How you feeling, man?
You know, I feel Gucci. I'm good.
Yeah?
Out there, homies.
Yeah, we out here. We're getting a little bit deeper into SAC. You know, we had a lot of good SAC interviews realistically over the past couple of months. The whole NorCal, really. We had Lil Bean and Zay Bang on here the other day.
They're my niggas.
I know. I heard them on your new project or your last project and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about coming up in Sacramento and what your early days were like.
Shit, man. I mean, Sac, like, coming up, nigga, when I was really coming up, I never really had dreams of, like, doing no other shit. Like, I wasn't trying to be no rapper or something. It's like, where we from? It's just like, shit, I say that shit all the time. It's like the legends, nigga, go to jail, nigga, for big shit, nigga. And you feel me? The best shit you go to jail for, that's who you is. Like, the legends from our hood is doing life. So, you feel me? It's just like, we was just looking at shit like no hope where I'm from, for real. Like, nigga never thought that he'll be able to get to where I'm at right now. You feel me?
Right. But you're from Oak Park,
specifically.
From birth, or you move around a little bit as a kid?
I moved around a little bit for sure, but from Oak Park originally, though.
Okay. So, like, when you were young, like, real young, how much did you sort of, like, detect the fact? Or, like, was there a specific moment you realized, like, oh, shit is pretty lit around here?
Man, you know, like, probably, like, you feel me? Like, it was on some early shit. Like, you feel me, a nigga, like, get into that, bro. Like, when on early, like, I start, you know, be older homies, my big cousin, shit like that. Like, everybody, you start thinking my friend group, like, it starts to get to, like, where, all right, you feel me, shit's like that. But I was one of the, you feel me, I never was watching, you feel me, like, I was always involved. So it'd be like, you feel me, I just, shit, come from where I come from. Like, my mama African, so my mom, one of them mamas that, she was always tripping on me, so I always was getting in trouble. My mom tried to make a nigga not leave the house and shit like that. Like, she'll be gigging.
Because parents that aren't from America are supposed to be super protective, right?
Yeah, they be super. My mom super turned up. Like, my mom called the cops on me type shit. Like, my mama be, she be tripping. Like, you feel me? She was just never fucking with how it was. So, you feel me? When the niggas start, like, getting kicked out the house and shit like that, then it be like, you ain't got nobody but your homies, you feel me? And then you ain't got nothing but the streets, for real.
Did you feel like you had kind of like a divide from some of the other kids that you're growing up around because your mom was from Africa? Like, was that ever like sort of like a weird thing where they're like judgmental of you about that or anything?
Hell yeah, as a little nigga, you get roasted because you African for sure.
Really?
Like, niggas for sure gonna roast you, like. You feel me? Because you different. Like, it ain't just being black. Like, I'm black and I'm African. You feel me? So it's like, shit is damn near like segregation for real. You feel me? But a nigga don't take it like that. Like, I don't be like, it don't hurt my feelings. But for sure, it was rougher. Like, you feel me? Being with all that around, like, hella motherfuckers. Like, I used to have an accent and hella shit. You feel me? Like,
really?
Yeah, serious.
That's interesting. Yeah, so how long had your mom been in the United States before she had you?
Probably a few years. It was a war going on in Sierra Leone. That's where she from.
Oh, okay.
She came. I'm the first one that was born in America. She came, you feel me, got pregnant out here, had me. She had lived in the South. She moved to Oak Park when she had me, then moved to Fruit Ridge, then back to Oak Park, you feel me? And, like, shit, that's just where a nigga grew up.
That's dope. Did she, like, do a lot of stuff to try to, like, keep you in touch with your heritage and shit?
Not really her. My grandma, that was really my heart. She the one that, like, you feel me, used to have me speak in Mende. That's her language. It's Mende.
Right.
I used to speak all that shit and everything. And then it's like, I start going outside too much and I forgot how to speak that shit. Like, all of it, I start not understanding it no more. I couldn't really talk to my grandmama. So, like, you feel me, it just turned into that.
That's funny. My dad told me that he knew how to speak French until he was, like, 8. And then he just lost it. And I'm like, to me, I only ever spoke English. So I'm like, how the fuck did you lose it? Like, you got to hold on to that shit. That's crazy.
Exactly. That's, like, around the age, too, for me. I start losing it.
Yeah, and so, if you want to learn a language right now, it's like you're going to take years and years of working your ass off to learn a language. And it's like the idea that you could know it as a kid and then just forget it is pretty crazy.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Definitely. All right, so what was your school career like? You do all right in school or?
Hell nah. When I started, like, in elementary, I was cool. I used to get, like, B's and shit. And then, like, when I got to, like, seventh grade, when they really start, like, shit, testing them, nigga, I was doing bad, and then I just did bad, but I graduated for sure, but I graduated because I was in juvenile hall every summer, so I basically had summer school, and you get credits when you go to juvenile hall. So it'd be like, every time I'm not at school, I'll be in juvie.
Oh, okay.
So I was getting credits throughout so long that I was damn near above in credits, but I didn't have the grades, so they just put me on a graduation plan, like, look, if you pass these, then we'll let you walk. And, like, you feel me? I had hella after school classes and shit. I just finished that shit.
But did you find it easy to focus on school when you were in juvenile hall? Like, because you didn't have as much other shit distracting you?
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. It was kind of easy because I'm, like, smart. So, like, I felt smarter than everybody that was there. So it felt better when I felt like, you feel me, I was the alpha male when it came to being smart.
Because, like, when you're on the street, I mean, doing school, like, hey, you could do good in school, but you got to choose school over hanging out with your homies, trying to holler at a girl, playing video games, watching TV, 5 million other things you would rather be doing. So it's like, when I feel like, you know, if you're locked up, basically, then, I mean, doing good is not going to be as hard, right?
It ain't nothing else to do. We don't got homework in juvie. So it's like, it's cool. You just go to school. And that was my main problem in school. I didn't do homework. I just refused. So it's like, you feel me? Me being able to be in juvenile hall and go to this shit and do my homework, do my work in class, that was easy, you feel me?
Right. What was the first time you went to juvenile hall? How did that start happening?
Like 14, 15, I had went down my knees for beating this one nigga up that told on us. And then, they gave a nigga like assault with a deadly weapon, like gang enhancement or something on some gay shit. And then, you know, after that, you feel me? After a nigga did that, it's like, when you get put on probation, you just be stuck in this loop, you feel me?
But they gave you,
like,
the gang enhancement when you were 14 for just beating a dude up?
Yeah.
But were you actually, like, affiliating yourself with a specific gang or, like, what?
Nah, you feel me? That's what they was trying to put on us at the time, you feel me? Like, if a group of niggas just beat a nigga ass, then they're going to say it's a gang.
Because normally when I hear the gang enhancement, it's way more serious shit where it's like, you know, somebody got shot and there was somebody associated, all these guys associated with it, like, benefit in the public eye or through their rap careers or whatever. Yeah. That's what I've heard a lot with the gang enhancement. It sounds crazy to use it for just like a couple guys beating another dude up.
The DA will tell you that, man, but you feel me, on some regular shit, it was like, we just got in a fight, bang blood, they put gang enhancement on it because it's a group of us and the police know us. And that was the first shit I was fighting.
I also feel like blood is too, like, that is too big of an umbrella term for that to even be the gang. Like, it should have to be more specific, I would think.
It gotta be more specific. I mean, you can't tell me what I'm doing, you feel me, why I'm trying to do it, man. You know, that's what they just be trying to do.
Damn, that's fucked up. But so, okay, they throw you in there for how long for that one?
I did, like, they gave us, like, 4 months. We did, like, 2 months in there, 2 months on ankle monitor.
And what was your first impression of it? You enjoy it or was it horrible?
Man, at first when I went down, I was like, at first I thought it was going to be worse. And I was like, man, this cool. It ain't even, it don't even matter for real. And then it was just like shit waiting to come home. But man, it just never, it never really affected me like that. Like, it was 3 meals a day in that motherfucker. So it was like, you feel me? I used to be like, shit, it's whatever.
Right. So that wasn't something that was guaranteed when you were younger? 3 meals a day?
Shit, I mean, hell nah. So you feel me? Like, being in there, it was like, shit, I know I'm on a track to eat. I get bigger in here, you feel me? Like, when I'm out, I be hella skinny. Like, you feel me? All that. So I ain't saying jail cool. Like, it wasn't cool, but it was just like, shit, juvie was like daycare, you feel me?
But like, by the time you got out, were you scared of going back?
Nah,
You were just kind of like, whatever.
I'm pretty, growing up, I kind of knew I was going to keep going back, feel me? Not trying to go back, but it was just like, I was just like, man, in the lifestyle, it's like, it would be fake to think I'll never end up back there, you feel me? But I always knew one day I'm going to prevail, you feel me? Like, I'm doing cool right now, like, I'm on bail, but it's like, it's some dumb shit, but not nothing to talk about, but it's just, you feel me? I kind of knew, like, man, the lifestyle we live, it's police after us, bro. You feel me? Like, it's just like, I'm going to run into trouble. You feel me? But running into trouble on a path to greatness don't matter. You feel me? As long as I'm not doing nothing stupid. You feel me? Like, a gun charge where I'm from is regular. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of gun charges. I get caught with a gun. I mean, that's what it is. You feel me? Like, Niggas gotta protect themselves, you feel me? And they don't give us the platform to be able to protect ourselves without calling us gang members, trying to go do something to somebody else, you know?
Right, like, so even when you were young, had you already realized or noticed that you were basically set up in a fucking trap by growing up in this area where the cops are so eager to throw you in jail for a fucking long ass time, even as like a 14-year-old, that there's no focus on rehabilitating you or helping you to understand the consequences of your behavior? It's just like, no, we're gonna just lock you up even though you're a kid.
Yeah, I ain't really know it was that barriers till I got like probably like 17, and then I realized like the type of stuff that they was throwing at me was like crazy. But it's like before that though, I knew of course it's against us, like the system against us, but like I didn't care about being on probation or nothing until, you know, eventually you get older and then you wanna travel and you wanna do stuff. Like right now it's hitting me the hardest because I'm still on probation. But it's like, you know, you wanna travel, you wanna do stuff, you wanna, you know, right now, like main problems I got, like, you know, I want life insurance. I be trying to have like my kids, set my kids up for generational wealth. I wanna do stuff like for the better, like for the future, you feel me? And like, you can't get that with probation.
Right.
You know, so it's like a lot of the passports, all that. And like, you know, when you entrap somebody somewhere, they can't think outside the box. Like, you're not giving us no room to be like, to do better. And my old POs used to not even let me leave set, you feel me? Like,
really?
Now my PO let me get some wiggle room because I proved that I rap and like, you feel me, I could move around. But you know, it's really like entrapment. Like, it's like you want us to stay out of trouble, but you're trying to keep us in one city where you know everybody got problems with each other. So you know you're not trying to help us, you feel me? Or else right. You would send us away, to be honest. But yeah, it's just crazy.
What was your mom's perspective on all this? Like, when you're getting sent off to juvenile hall and stuff, her not being from America, I'm sure she's looking at you like this is the worst possible scenario, right?
My mom, one of them people, she blamed my partners. So, like, she just always used to be on some, like, you feel me? It's my friends that's making me bad, you feel me? But my friends' parents would say it's me making them bad. So, you know how parents is. They never want to look at it like it's for real. Like, I don't never want to think they kid is a bad kid. But I don't never, like I said, I don't think I'm a bad kid. And one thing my mama will tell you is, I reap what I sow, like, you feel me? And I always, when she used to try to talk, visit me when I'm in juvie and talk, I'd just be like, man, I know what I did. I'm finna just do my time and be right back out. Like, it ain't nothing to cry about. It ain't no problem.
Right. So did you finish high school?
Yep, I graduated.
Oh, because you got all those fucking credits from going to
juvie
and shit.
Juvie credits,
right?
So,
Along the way, when did you start rapping? And were there like rappers that you were looking at when you were real young? Because when you were real young, Mozzie wasn't necessarily out yet, or was he already out at that point?
I mean, Mozzie been rapping, so it's like when I was young for sure. Growing up, it's like Snubs and Lil Nick, and like Mozzie like is the main like that you see like from our, you feel me, section that's booming. You feel me? But like not booming everywhere, but it's like this is what we used to listen to.
Right.
You feel me? And then it's like I kind of got the whiff of like, I want to start rapping, but like not off that though. I probably start rapping when I was like, I start playing around when I was 16. Like I used to play around on the GarageBand on the computer, like auto-tune and stuff like that. And then probably like a little after that, I start really like feeling like, all right, I feel like I could rap. Like my homies was telling me like, you know, you could put words together. So you feel me, I start trying. You'll be in juvie writing, you feel me? And like, I came out and I was just like, I had a little buzz around, like people listen to my stuff on SoundCloud and stuff.
Right.
So yeah, after that, it just, one day it got serious when I went down again. First I had met like Neff and Neff the Pharaoh and all that. He had like, he used to tell me come to his house and like record and stuff. After I met him, like I remember I used to go over there. I used to live over there for a minute. I came back, I went to SAC. They was trying to get me to come to the studio. I went to jail, you feel me? Police was looking for me. I go down with another hammer. And it was like that last time I was down, I was like 19. And then I was like, all right, I'm finna take this serious then. You know, my manager Pookie got me the little Empire distribution, and like from there it's been serious ever since.
Damn, that's dope. So how many gun charges in total did you get, or around that time? Actually, before I even ask that, I want to ask, like, when did that become an obvious thing to you that you just had to start moving around that way even at a young age?
Shit, I mean, shit, since like 12, 13.
Really? That's like a reality to you even at that young?
Yeah, for sure. Don't never not have a Yiki.
Wow.
Since like 12, 13.
And was there like a serious police presence in Oak Park like all the time? Like, because a lot of times when I've gone to like hoods and shit, it's kind of like, yo, there's so many cameras and the cops are around like doing the rounds very consistently that like not a lot of shit goes down. But you're making it sound like it was pretty wild.
Yeah, gang tats was harassing. Gang tats still harassing till today. They for sure. Gang tats will bounce out on you right now. Kids in the car, make your kids get out the car, probably check under your kid's car seat, do all type of stuff. Like, they've been, gang tats been tripping ever, as long as I know. For
wow,
sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the black and whites ain't really the same as the gang tats. They tripping too, for sure, but it's like, the gang tats, them the ones that act like they know us, the ones that bounce out. Hey, Coney, I heard you dropped a new album, man. Ooty woof, you got a gun on you? That's gangsta's.
Because it's like their job to know everything about what everybody has going on. So you dropping an album is like a real thing. They're probably looking through Rap Genius trying to figure out.
Yeah, exactly. That's gangsta's.
Damn. Okay. So you got a special kind of relationship with them.
I avoid them, and I stay positive. I don't talk to them. I ain't got nothing going on over there. I just know they love me for some reason.
When did you like move away from the area that you grew up in? I'm assuming you had to at some point.
Yeah, when I had moved, I went to high school. When I went to high school in Elk Grove. But before that, like not before that, but I went to high school in Elk Grove. Then after that, you feel me, I was still like in my little area. And then like I moved out when I got older. I went to Vallejo like 2 years ago probably. Cause I'm still young, I'm 22. So it ain't like a lot. Long ass lifespan. So I just went to Vallejo. Then when I went to Vallejo, you feel me, I had met my baby mama and shit. But that's when I was working with Neff. I moved in Neff house, you feel me, and yeah, I've been putting in work ever since.
What was it like when you started recording with Neff, and what did he sort of teach you about rapping?
Shit, I mean, it was cool for sure. Like, you feel me, seeing a nigga, cause he for sure one of like the, I ain't gonna say the first because it's Mozzie first, but it's like he for sure one of like the first big artists that like, you feel me, came in a nigga life, like, you feel me, and showed me, like, was taking me to every show, you feel me, and like I was recording with him and he reached down, did a tape with me, like, you feel me, he was just showing me like, shit, it's cool to fuck with niggas under you type shit, you feel me, and he wasn't making me feel like I was just under him, so like I appreciated that for sure.
That's dope. Definitely. So you said Mozzie reached out to you before him, though?
Really not reach out. Like, we from the same neighborhood, so it's like everybody know each other regardless. So it's like, you feel me, when Mozzie start coming to L.A. and shit like that, we start coming to L.A. and shit like that, too. And, like, you feel me, that's what I got from them, like, seeing outside of Sacramento, because I never seen nothing outside of Sac for a long-ass time, you feel me? But yeah.
So when you were a kid, like, you weren't even thinking about like what it would be like to go to San Francisco, never mind LA, or
I didn't even know what the Bay was when I was a little kid. Oh God, I didn't know. I knew like E-40 and shit, but I never was really like, oh, they're from here. Like, I just was like, oh, it's a Bay Area over there. But I didn't know what nothing was like outside of Sacramento until I was like literally like 17, 18 years old.
I'm always so fascinated by that, how like a lot of rappers will just have one other rapper who sort of like opens the whole fucking world up to them by just showing them that there's so much more to life than your neighborhood, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Definitely. So when did you feel like your music actually started to get some traction?
When I bounced out of, well, I dropped this song called Location on a Flyer. And when I dropped that, I seen like my fastest 100,000 views. And then I went to jail after that too. And I remember when I was in jail, I used to call home and I would be asking like what's going on, what's going up. And then I think I had like 300,000 views right there. But you know, that was hella big right there. So you feel me? I remember we was playing that motherfucker on the jail speakers in the branch. You feel me? Like, what was going up? And like, you know, like I just knew, like I was talking to Pook, my manager. He was at South by Southwest with Neff and them at the time. And it's like, you feel me? Shit, that's when I knew, like, all right, I'm going to get out. And I'm finna drop this tape that I already got half done. That's called March Madness. You feel me? And that was one of the tapes that took me off the fastest. And I already knew, like, when I get out, I'm finna drop this March Madness. And I named it March Madness because March was when the police was kicking my dough in and looking for me and shit. And they caught me in March. And I was doing my time. I dropped that shit in May, though. But I'm telling Pook, I'm like, I'm finna drop March Madness in May because, nigga, March was brazy. You feel me? And
why were they kicking your door in?
Crazy shit.
There's a lot of shit that you gotta leave on the cutting room floor that you can't talk about in turn, like in your music and shit. Like, there's some people that put it all out there, and then there's some people that don't put anything specific out there. Like, how would you rate yourself on that?
Man, I'm a smart young dude, man. I'll leave it out there.
Yeah, definitely. So, okay, your shit starts taking off, and I don't know. At that time, were you just putting shit on YouTube, or like, what did you really know much about promotion? Or you already had the Empire deal at this point?
It was just a distribution, so it wasn't like no real deal where they was doing anything. I just needed a platform to drop music. So promotion, I didn't know what no promotion was at that time. I was just dropping the music and it was just going up.
Right.
Yeah.
Did your lifestyle start to like change around that time? Like when would you say you actually started seeing money from rapping?
Shit, I remember I got my first check. I was on house arrest for hella long. They was on, Neff and them was on E-40 tour, and I jumped off house arrest, went on the E-40 tour, and then my first check was like 1400, and I thought I was rich, because I ain't never had no money like that before. So I just remember getting that first check, and I was like, man, this is crazy. And then I'm like, I'm in a distribution, so I'm like, so if I keep driving, I keep getting money. So I just start dropping crazy, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And it just, after that, like I said, I just established what I wanted to do.
Right. But what was like the first big single that sort of like took off on its own and had its own momentum?
King Coney was my first million views, that song. I jumped out. That was my first video I dropped when I was fresh out.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, it was a single called Scoompin'. That was for the hoes. That was on that motherfucker too. And that like took me off crazy too, cause they was like, oh, this nigga could talk to the bitches too. You feel me? I was lit right there.
Define scooping for the people out there.
Shit, scooping is just, you feel me? Like a bitch that be scooping all the time, like, you feel me? She just be always trying to get up in there, like a scoop, a little thoot, like a thoot, a little thooter. Like, you feel me? It's just a bitch that's always trying to get up in there. But a scoop is cool, too. Like, it's cool scoops and it's bad scoops, you feel me? Like, it's just scooping. Like, we all be scooping. Like, you be scooping. Like, you feel me? Bro be scooping. Like, it's just scooping. Like, you got a late night hype, you scooping.
Drop a comment down below if you're scooping.
Yeah, if you're scooping right now, drop a comment.
Well, actually, okay, so there's a girl I got to interview after this who's a podcaster, and I was listening to her podcast, and she's giving advice on how to hack into your man's phone.
Oh, okay.
Is that scoop behavior?
So she's trying to stop you from scooping. That's right, okay, not scoop behavior. But it could be scoop behavior because a bitch that's doing that is probably scooping too.
Mm.
And she might be a little insecure because she know what she doing, man.
That's when I knew the world was all fucked up, when I was hearing her talk about that, because I'm thinking, if I came on this podcast and was talking about hacking into my girl's phone, you know what motherfuckers would, like, it would be over for me. They'd be trashing me, and these girls are talking about it all willy-nilly. It's all good.
Yeah, they'll think you a creep, but, like, Hell, you feel me? You know, niggas like us, we just got to be player and be superior men, you know?
Yeah. So you don't look through your girl's phone?
No, I have, for sure. You know, for sure.
A
for
moment
sure.
of weakness? Or,
yeah, you know, sometimes it might be laying there and you might be like, hold on. But you feel me? It feel good when ain't nothing in that motherfucker.
Right. No, yeah. I never looked at my girl's phone, but when I think about it, back in the day, I definitely looked through some phones. And definitely, like, seen some shit that just immediately was like, oh, I can't fuck with her anymore.
I can fuck her,
but I can't.
Yeah.
Any thought of my heart being involved in this is over. Which is good. That's what you can get by looking through the phone.
Yeah, is she bad for you? The universe gonna bring that to you, bro. The universe ain't gonna make you look stupid for that long.
Mm.
One day you'll find out.
I feel it. Wait, so was that like a new thing for you, making music for girls? Because I feel like you kind of came in talking street shit, true or false?
I always been versatile. Like, I could rap about anything, bro. So it's just like, it's just the vibe. Like, it was just one day in the studio. Like, I just made a song about killing niggas right before that. And then that beat came on and nigga tried to skip it because he thought I was just on this vibe. And I'm like, hold on, go back. And I'm like, hell nah, this go crazy. But you know, I was nervous. I remember the day I was in the studio with Slimmy B and my nigga Blap Dre, the engineer. And I start singing, and I remember I stopped on the mic and I'm like, man, this sounds stupid. And then they like, hell nah, that go crazy. And you feel me? I just kept, because I came in that motherfucker fake singing. I can't sing, but they love that shit.
I think me and Currency figured out the other day that, like, the ultimate cheat code to making a song blow up is you got to be talking about the most violent shit, but you got to say it in a cool, in a friendly way, huh? You know, like, and he pointed out the best example, because I pointed out Who I Smoke with the Vanessa Carlton sample, and it sounds like a pop song. He pointed out Nelly, the fucking Street Sweeper Baby. There's a song about drive-by. It was like one of the biggest songs of all time in rap history, and it's about shooting up a block. And it went, and then as a kid, you listen to it, you would never think that.
Yeah, for sure. People like that. They like it till it's real. Like, people fuck with that shit. You see, Back in Blood was going crazy. Like, they fuck with that shit. It just
hell be, yeah, exactly.
When they see that somebody really gets hurt, people be like, oh, hell nah. But it be like, man, y'all want that. Like, y'all be promoting that.
And I watched a YouTube breakdown of that song. They're like, oh, this song is actually about this rapper breaking into his op's house and stealing a bunch of guns from him. So when he says you can get it back in blood, he's threatening them to come back. And I'm like, yo, that's so crazy that there's like 4-year-olds out here dancing to that song. On, they'll never know that there's
never
like,
know
they're just
about.
Talking crazy shit that people are probably, you know.
That old school shit was like that too, though. Jay-Z, Nas on, they was talking about killing a nigga like a motherfucker, but it just be, you kind of ain't thinking about it like that, but they for sure was gangster rapping, for real.
This is true. But are you the type of rap fan that sort of like went back and like looked into more like the older rap that was around before you came around?
Yeah, I love rap music, so I really listen to, I was just having these niggas listen to Ether in the car. I be listening to fucking, you feel me, Stillmatic, got Black Album, all that shit, like that old shit. Like, I just, I like studying niggas' flows, because I feel like rap is hella about flow, not what you say all the time. But me, I take what I say hella personal. But, you know, I know as a person trying to reach an audience, people like flow. So you feel me? I always study flow, like how the New York niggas used to like slide on the beat and like, you feel me? Like to adapt, you don't want to just sound like one thing, you feel me? That means you come and go when you sound like one thing. The versatile always stays, so.
And I think if you're only influenced by other rappers that like live roughly in the same place as you and rap roughly about the same shit as you and like all shit, if you only listen to music that came out this year, as a rapper, you're not really doing yourself any favors. Like, you should definitely go listen to shit that people are not listening to, so you can find inspiration that'll make your shit sound different, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Listen to shit people ain't listening to, or don't listen to no rap, because you get too heavily influenced and just start sounding like the next man, you feel me? And the best artists got original sound. A lot of people are goats because they was the first people doing what they was doing, not really because they're the best rapper. It's a lot because they're the first people doing that. You know, a lot of young niggas, like, I was telling my niggas, like, they don't think, like, Jay-Z raw like that or, like, Nas and shit like that. But I'd be like, bro, like, niggas was the first niggas doing that in their time. I'm young. I don't even know. Like, I'd be having to go back and do my research and be like, if I was born at that time, I would probably say he's the GOAT, too. You feel me? But it's like, you know, we young, so we all, everybody got different GOATs, you feel me?
100%. But, yeah, there's, like, I was reading this book about Jay-Z, and it really painted the picture, because that's a rapper I've been listening to since before I even knew anything. And they kind of pointed out, like, he was the first rapper to put himself out there, like, as a hustler. Like,
hustling music.
Drug dealer, hustler, who's, like, also just hitting you with all these gems of, like, life advice. And it's like, that character didn't exist in rap at the time the way that it did through him. And that, like, you know, people kind of lose track of, like, how different a lot of that shit is, you know?
Yeah, I was just reading his book too. I forgot what that shit called, but got the gold, the black with the gold on
it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly. He for sure says something about how nobody was talking about hustling, so he was the one to, feel me, step it up.
100%. Like, how open-minded do you consider yourself when it comes to production and shit? Because when I was listening to your most recent project, I definitely felt like you might have taken some influence from some of the shit going on in Detroit in terms of, like, that sort of, like, using some of those old samples and having the real fast-paced beats and shit.
I ain't gonna lie, the samples, is really, I get the samples from, like, that's really like SOB, like, you feel me, Bay Area type shit. True. To be real, you feel me? The up-tempo, like, little, like, yeah, it's a little flavor of Detroit in there, but, like, I take a little of everything, like, shit, rap it. I heard Jay-Z say that shit, too, like, in his little shop interview, like, rap is made, like, for it to be, like, branches, so it's always gonna be somebody that starts a certain era, and it's supposed to build down. A lot of people be mad to, like, give people credit, but it's like, you feel me, at the end of the day, whether you know it or not, everybody kind of raps a certain way because of somebody else. So you feel me, once shit's passed down, I for sure listen to everything and be like, okay, like, you feel me, I could get that from there and get that from there. I still got my own style,
definitely. But it is interesting because when I listen to you rap, I hear little tiny pieces of a lot of different rappers that I could kind of almost be like, I feel like I know he's influenced by this person because of the way he just said that one word. But it's not like your whole shit that, but it's like a lot of little tiny influences.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right for sure.
Definitely. So, okay, when did you actually start working with Mozzie or start wearing the Mozzie chain? When did that conversation happen?
Probably like 18. I think I got my shit out like 18. Like, he gave me the chain for sure, and, like, but other than that, like, we ain't worked hella, you feel me? I think we got, like, two, three songs or something, two songs. But, yeah, I just got the chain, and then, shit, that's what it was.
Okay, but you didn't sign to him?
No, I never signed to him. It's just, like, it was just some, you feel me? Like, blood just was, you feel me, giving the shit to niggas he fucked with for real, you feel me?
Okay, but so were you optimistic about that turning into more at a certain point, or was it always just some more low-key thing?
Nah, I ain't never, it wasn't never gonna be, I was never tripping about Mo. I always done made it clear, like, you feel me, nigga be trying to be independent, so, like, he ain't never came at me like, hey, I'm trying to sign you to some albums, stuff, shit, like, it ain't never been like that. Okay. It was just like, I had that, and I was just doing what I was doing.
But you guys didn't really, like, move around that much. You just did a couple songs and it didn't really...
Yeah, I had went on tour with Dog, like, you feel me, like, two times. But that was, like, the first time I went on tour, then I wasn't even, like, really a rapper yet. Okay. Like, you feel me, type shit. But, yeah, I done went on tour with Dog and shit like that, you feel me?
Okay. Did you guys sort of fall out at a certain point, or did you stop kicking at a certain point, or...?
I ain't really no, like, fallout, blood, you know, you feel me? Niggas just be growing, doing their own thing.
I feel it. Yeah, it's interesting because I'm, like, having a hard time. Like, I'm looking through YouTube titles and I can't really tell, like, what is actually real stuff and which ones are just trying to clickbait me into believing that everybody has problems with each other.
Hell yeah, they be trying to do that shit though, you know. They be trying to play with every gangster.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't know. That was just I was trying to make sense of it, but it was a little unclear to me. But yeah. Okay, so in terms of, like, where your career is at right now, oh, hey, I wanted to ask this. Do you think that your name closes doors for you ever just because it's a very aggressive name?
Yeah, my name closed doors like a motherfucker. I had a conversation with Nima one time, and he told me I should change my name. And shit, I thought about it. I remember I talked to my partner about it, and my partner was like, yeah, you should. And then I was like, fuck no, I ain't doing that shit. And, like, ever since, I was just like, shit, well, I'ma just, when history comes, nigga, they just gonna know, like, shit, I did it with this on my back, regardless, you feel me? Like, I started this shit, this shooter game shit isn't, like, just, but I would never take it out my name, because it was, this ain't just, like, no, come on, like, these is my niggas. Like, it's a lot of niggas was in shooter game that is not rappers, you feel me? Like, It wasn't just no rap group type shit. So if I would never take that shit out of my name, because you feel me, I got niggas that died with that name, you feel me? Uh-huh. So it's like I have to keep it. If it's a curse, well, you feel me, I'm gonna make it with a little burden on my back. It's funner to go against anyway.
Right. But so the Coney name, you had that before the shooter gang part of it? Like, were you just Coney at some point?
Yeah, I was just Coney at first, for sure.
And so was that, like, the kids giving you shit about the Joseph Kony thing because they knew that you were African, so that was like a joke, and then you just rolled with it?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly okay. What it was. It was a joke, you feel me? A little African nigga with hammers, and it turned into, you feel me? That was really, I didn't like it at first. Mm. And then it was like, fuck it, that shit kind of tight.
That shit was crazy because I feel like a lot of people didn't even know about a lot of the shit that was going on in Africa with all the warlords and all the crazy ass shit. I feel like a lot of people didn't know about it. Then they had that social media campaign against Facebook. against this one warlord. And I was always thinking, I'm like, what the fuck are they going to do to this dude? Like they're not going to be able to stop this guy from living his, doing whatever the fuck he's doing. Like, it seems so crazy. All these white people just trying to, like, project their moral compass onto a continent where they can't possibly relate to what the fuck is going on there, right?
Yeah, for sure. That was just some little, I felt like it was propaganda for real, but whatever it was, you feel me? They pushed that name onto me, and I end up taking that shit around with that shit. My name was SS at first, Star Shooter, and then we made Shooter Gang, you feel me? And the SSG, we added the other S. I basically took that shit out of my name, because at first I was Shooter Gang SS, really, but I had multiple names. I've been Ginobili Stojakovic. They've been calling me all this shit forever. So it's like, you feel me? At first I was Shooter Gang SS. I took the SS out of my name. We made this SSG shit, and I've changed my name to Coney.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was actually coming in here thinking that Joseph Coney had just died, but then I Googled it, and I'm pretty sure it's not true.
I thought that nigga been dead. I didn't even know.
No, because I read a meme. I saw a meme that said he died of the coronavirus. I'm like, damn, he ended up dying from that. But then I Googled it today, and I'm pretty sure it's not true. So
yeah, that shit clickbait. He be trying to get more views than me, but I be fucking with that nigga.
He be trying to get more views
than me? He be trying, but I be fucking with that nigga.
Damn,
for sure.
So if you type Coney into fucking YouTube when right I, now, who's winning?
When I used to type Coney, he for sure was popping up first.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm popping up there, homies.
Wow, that's actually pretty tight. That's like a real battle right there.
Yeah, for sure. I'm fucking with dog.
There's some like bacteria called Adam 22, so I'm up against that.
What, Coney?
No, there's like a bacteria called Adam 22.
Oh,
and
that is crazy.
When I like search my name or whatever, I gotta like compete with the Wikipedia page about like this fucking tiny little microscopic germ or some shit. I don't know. I never really even looked
some
into COVID it like that.
Type shit.
Yeah, I don't know. yeah, I don't know. So how was COVID for you though? Like did COVID, I know there's like a bunch of references to it on your most recent project and shit. Like, is that the front of your mind?
I was on tour when COVID came. So nigga, we had our last show in Atlanta and nigga, that shit was over. We had to drive back from Atlanta. I stopped in Vegas because Vegas wasn't shut down yet. Was gambling like a motherfucker, went back home, thought that shit was going to be fake. And that shit been around forever now.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Wait, did you ever let it slow you down too much or did you keep moving around?
Nah, that ain't so much. That ain't really what slowed me down. You feel me? It fake way did, but like, you feel me? It ain't like really stopped the work ethic. It just kind of stopped like, damn, I have these songs that I don't want slept on, so I want to perform them. Mm. So now that I can't perform them, that's what's like slowing me down. You feel me? Because I'm feeling like certain shit is getting looked over because I'm dropping while we in the house. You feel me? But that's all.
Yeah, it's weird because in a lot of ways, I feel like nothing changed for me because I kept coming here and kept doing interviews and shit. But then at the same time, like, I barely like been to some public shit over the course of the past year and a half. Like, I barely like been to some video shoot. There ain't been that many video shoots. There ain't been parties, etc. Now I'm so used to not leaving the house that it's kind of hard for me to even imagine what it's going to be like getting really social again, you know?
I mean, shit, niggas is outside though. When COVID hit, niggas went to Texas. And niggas, then when Vegas opened up, niggas went to Vegas. So, you feel me? I ain't really been feeling like it was COVID. It's COVID. You feel me? I was, like I said, I be gambling like a motherfucker. So I was in Vegas going crazy.
What's the most you ever lost in a night gambling?
Man, I ain't going. It wasn't really a night, but I remember when I went out there, I was on a back to back streak, and they got me for like 20,000, bruh.
Wow.
And like on a like wake up, go get hit for this, then go get some more money. Got hit the next day, then try to hit before my flight, and they got me together. And then that was like, all right, boy, I'm gonna slow down for a minute. And then, but I was going crazy. It was a minute where I was just having nigga stacks of dough on me. I don't be touching my bank account, and I was just having stacks of dough on me, all from dice in the streets and gambling. You feel me? I just would. It was just gambling money every day. I never used no other type of money for like a couple months. So really, the 20 that got me for was like shit that I was hitting them for. You feel me?
Right. Yeah. But when you're playing dice on the street, you feel like there's a lot more ways for you to sort of make things go your way rather than a casino where it's all by the books.
Nah, I mean,
you throwing the dice at a weird angle and shit. I don't know what
in the streets
doing.
I could punk a nigga to keep shooting if he get my money. You feel me? But at the tables, I could bet a hard six. You feel me? I could bet the 12. I feel a horn coming. You feel me? I could bet a straight eight. You feel me? Like, I could. It's hella bet, so I be feeling like I could fuck with it. But I've been on Baccarat lately. I don't really. I kind of shook the dice because you gotta be like drunk to shoot dice. Like if you sober, like you be getting smacked, bro. Cause like you ain't vibing. And when the table quiet, you get hit. Like every time, that shit irritating as fuck.
I could tell you got the degenerate gambler soul in you right there. Like yeah, I could just hear it in your voice that you're you like it a little too much.
I do. And then a nigga might come from the back, and then they'll send a nigga from the back to buzz us. Right. And nigga might say some weird shit. Nigga might have to knock this nigga out because this nigga done walked up and was like, oh, I wouldn't bet that. And a nigga like that would be like, boy, we'll beat your motherfucking ass. Like,
you knocked the dude out in the casino?
Nah, we ain't knocked the nigga out in the casino. I ain't going to say all that. But it's been a lot of times where a nigga done been in the casino and it been like, damn, like, why would you do that to yourself? Like, me and my niggas let us say, like, he did it to himself. That's one of my favorite phrases because it's like a nigga will really come. And then we'll be like, man, they sent him. Because it's like, boy, this nigga done walked up just to play with me. You feel me? Walk up, sit right next to me and just be talking. And I'd be like, oh, my God. Niggas be asking to get knocked out.
Yeah. Definitely. Fuck. Yeah, I just play poker. So I'm kind of like out of the loop of the emotional highs and lows of playing like dice and shit where you could really like lose everything you got in like a moment.
Yeah, I don't know how to play poker. I play poker on Red Dead Redemption, the game for sure.
That's pretty much what it's like. I played it on there a little bit too.
Yeah, I don't know how to play real poker, but shit, you know, I'll learn though.
Yeah, it's all good. Okay, so in terms of like where you feel like you're at in your career, what has you excited at this point? What do you feel like is going to be the shit that's going to help you take it to the next level? Let's strategize.
Man, bro, I feel like everybody say that shit, but I just feel like, shit, I'm the best out, bro. Like, niggas don't be talking about the same shit that I'm talking about, bro. Like, I'm not just talking about popping niggas, bro. I talk about real shit, bro. I could talk about gaining wealth, bro. I talk about, you feel me, protecting yourself, like taking care of what matters, your family, like all that, bro. Like, and niggas need a narrative from a nigga that's really been through everything, bro. I've been through everything a nigga could name except being shot, but I done been shot at countless times, you feel me? But it's just like, man, like, bro, I done felt all that, bro. I done felt never coming home from jail. I done felt everything. So when you hearing it, bro, from a young nigga standpoint, where I'm only 22, bruh, and I feel 50, bruh, and I give older niggas advice, bruh, you feel me? Like, I be trying to teach niggas how to buy houses. Like, I just bought my first house, bro.
Wow.
You feel
That's
me?
Dope.
Like, I be just trying to teach people what to do. Like, I feel like I go through certain shit, and people that go through certain shit are supposed to teach people so they don't go through that shit. Or you supposed to, nigga, shit, develop next society. Like, I ain't saying be Jesus Christ, but, like, you feel me? Like, pass down knowledge, bro. Like, and I rap about knowledge and real shit. And I get that shit from, like, Nas and shit like that, too. Like, I know he was heavy on that, talking about, like, you black empowerment and all that, you feel me? And that's what I feel like is some real shit. Talk about what you've been through. Talk about the street shit and everything. And then you got to also slip shit that'll help a nigga, make people get through hard times, get through jail, make that shit that the niggas in the pen listen to, make that shit that shit a baby mama might be listening to, make that shit that a depressed nigga might be listening to, you feel me? So they could feel us, you feel me?
Like, do you feel like you would feel like you were selling yourself short if you just rapped about gangster shit for the rest of your life, knowing that there's probably a lot of fans who that's kind of what they want to hear from you right now?
Yeah, but that's not just raw talent though. Like, all the best artists rap about a lot of stuff, bro, not just that. Of course people want to hear that, so you reel them in with that, and then you talk about real shit also, bro. Like, nobody's gonna just be the biggest artist just talking about shooting a nigga every line. That's impossible, bro. Mm-hmm. That's not gonna happen, you feel me? And shit, some people just gotta realize that shit, because niggas be weak as fuck.
Yeah, definitely. Do you go back to where you're from frequently, or is it too high pressure to even be in a situation out there?
Hell yeah, like a motherfucker, like, shit, it was a time where, like, niggas was telling me, why is you here? Because, like, I would just be at the park shooting dice every day, you feel me? And then, like, you feel, I just kind of got, shit, a couple niggas was on the phone with me telling me, like, man, you need to focus. Like, it ain't nothing, there ain't no love out here, bro. Like, just do your Dougie. And, like, ever since then, I kind of, and I have my son, too. So, like, you feel me? I've been a lot, like, taking care of my son, trying to be there for my son. I ain't have no daddy myself. So, you know, recently it been like, all right, fuck that shit. You feel me? I love the trenches, though, but it just be like, man, fuck that shit. Sometimes you got to take care of what matters, because some people want you to treat them better than you'll treat your own son. You feel me? So,
could you believe when you saw YG pulling up to your old neighborhood?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I wouldn't have thought about it, but Trevor was just kind of telling me. He's like, bro, I've never seen a fucking rapper as big as him pull up over there. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Sacramento, period. Like, the whole Sacramento scene, like, we for sure got it hard, because it's like we in this bubble where it's like, we already be, it's kind of hard for us because the Bay Area already, and then people that aren't from here think that Sac be the Bay when they're hella far. Mm. And then we got a bubble to break out the Bay, then we got to break out of Sac. Mm. Then we got to break out as gang members and all that shit. So it's a lot of shit, like shit that you be fighting, you feel me? Like trying to get out of a little ass place like that. Then our city hate us, you feel right, me? So
it's like hate within you the, got, the rappers, yeah, so alone.
You, yeah, exactly. So like you got a lot of shit to break out of, you feel me? But shit, that shit make niggas the strongest, you feel me?
Mm, definitely. Do you be getting drunk as fuck when you're out gambling? I forgot I wanted to ask that before.
Yeah, you can't get too
part
drunk.
Part of it.
You can't get too drunk, because you get too drunk, you're going to lose all your money because you ain't going to know how to stop. But you got to be feeling it, though, in your heart, because if you a little tipsy, you're going to go crazy. You just got to keep talking. The quiet man always get hit. Mm. You got to talk. You got to talk shit. You got to ask the dealers what they trying to bet. What y'all want to bet? Oh, he hating on me? Let me hit this for you. You feel me? That's how you hit, for real.
I feel it. When you were talking about how it's kind of, like, you don't have the same desire to be in the streets and stuff with your kid. I mean, that really does, like, change the equation that's going on in your brain about what you want to do with your time once you have this kid and you just know he needs some fucking hours of your attention, right?
Yeah, it's a little you, like, you feel me? And I just be looking at him like, man, like, bro, I felt like I had no love, so I was just on some, bro, like, I don't know nothing else. Like, I convinced myself that I wasn't worth nothing. So it doesn't matter if I go to jail for life. That's how I was feeling growing up. So I would never want him to feel like I'm not worth nothing. Like, we're in a world where you can get rich off anything, bruh. You feel me? Anything you put your heart to, nigga, you'll get rich off of. I'm just can't wait to be able to, like, you feel me, give him the knowledge that I got, you feel me, coming up and putting hard work into something I believed in, you feel me?
Yeah, for sure. Like, but it's crazy too when you think about it, because I'm sure your mom wanted you to know that. Like, I'm sure your mom wanted you to know how valuable your life was.
Yeah.
But there's something about being like a young man where it's very hard to just accept what your parents tell you. You kind of got to go out there and figure it out for yourself, right?
Yeah, she for sure, of course, wanted me to be big. But it's like what America do is like they'll hypnotize like foreigners on like to make it seem like, not even just foreigners, like just the generation before all of us, where every parent feel like, do this, go to college and do this. But it's like, to me, I feel like that shit's entrapment. I feel like if you take the same years you're going to college to read on exactly what you want to do with your life, you will be more successful than you just going to get that degree. If you study what you want to do for 2 years and put your full heart into it, you'll be richer. You feel me? Half us rich ass niggas ain't go to college. You feel me? Yeah, so it's just, I just don't really go for it. I ain't going to tell my son not to go to college, but I'm going to tell my son, if you believe that you could do something, go 100. You feel me? Like, really put your shit into that and don't never hate a struggle. Because when you hate the struggle, that means you just seek the reward and you don't seek your struggle. And if you don't enjoy your struggle, then what you're doing is not for you.
Yeah, like, I feel like each generation has a different idea of what college should be. Yeah. And like my parents' generation, like the way that they thought with me was like, you graduate high school, you go to college. What for? Doesn't matter. You got to go to college for something. It doesn't matter if you feel like you understand yet. Like, yeah. pick a fucking major out of a hat and study that or do general stuff in the meantime. Which, I mean, I do see the value. Like, if your family has enough money to send you to college and it's not important for you to just get a job right away, that might be a place where you could learn a lot about what you want to do with the rest of your life. But for, like, a poor kid who doesn't necessarily know what he wants to do, to just put yourself into that much debt to just learn some random skill that you don't even know if it's going to be useful by the time you get out of college, because that happens all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
That people go to school for some kind of journalism or a skill, a technological thing, and the field just isn't even there by the time they get out.
Bro, I'm telling you, bro, I got countless homies that went to school and be feeling like, fuck that shit at the end, bro, you feel me? It just be like I said, I'll never tell a nigga not to go, but if you just put your passion into something, bro, you could be bigger than what you think. You know what I mean? Following them guidelines, that shit set us up for shit that I don't got no business doing that shit, so.
Bro, and I've had employees who had like crazy like six-figure student loan debt. And bro, it is very hard for you to be like a happy, relaxed person when you're giving half the money you're making in a month to your fucking debt, and you feel like you're still not going to be out of that shit for 20 years.
Yeah, it creates stress, but shit, like America make money off stress, so I just feel like that's them people playing, you feel me?
For sure. Okay, so you planning on dropping anything soon? Any big plans in the works?
Hell yeah, album finna come out right around the corner. Man, shit, I feel like I'm finna drop my best work, to be honest. Like, I feel like I found myself hella good. Like, you feel me? I found what I want to do, what I want to talk about, and I'm at the perfect age and point in growth where I'm gonna talk about it all. So, yeah, man, that shit. Next shit that's coming is gonna go crazy, and it's right around the corner. Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, you've had some big fucking songs, and you're still young as fuck. So, I mean, have you ever gotten frustrated and felt like shit, like, maybe, you know, like I feel like even being that young, has there ever been times where you just felt like, fuck, like, is this shit not gonna work out? Or have you always managed to sort of have that faith in yourself?
Man, shit, like, all the time, you always will get like a doubt where you be like, man, like, what am I doing wrong? You feel me? But it's like, shit, it's this or nothing at the end of the day, bro. I can't go do nothing else. I can't get a job. Like, you feel me? Nigga get shot at work. You know what I mean? So it's like, this is just what it is, man. Like, this what I'm supposed to do. This what I'm doing. Like, this what I'm here to do.
For sure. So, well, you're super talented. So, you know, I appreciate you coming through and having a conversation with us, man.
For sure. Thank you, man.
Yeah, much love. Appreciate you. Shooter Gang Coney, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. Appreciate you, man.
Well.